Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. We're very grateful to you for the anointing, for sending the Spirit of truth to live in us and around us and on us forever. And Jesus bought and paid for that an awesome price. And we praise you and thank you that it has been done. And He is here today. He is in us and around us and on us. He is there wherever you are. In the name of Jesus, we bless you today. And thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Sitting Bull was a very spiritual man. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that happen. I learned a lot from Elson Bennett and Elson's Navajo. But we had a lot of discussions, and he agreed with me, and I agree with him. These men knew God. They just didn't know what to call him. Sitting Bull called, he would worship, and he would talk to the forever spirit. Now, he said, they're bad spirits, but the forever spirit is our God. Mm. The forever spirit. He had a revelation of that.
We talked about it Monday.
Yes.
That he's always been.
He's always been. And there are many stories among the Cherokee people. And the pale healer.
Mm.
He was among these people. When nobody even knew they existed, he was among them. And I want to go today. The Lord dropped this in my heart again. We'll go back to the book of Isaiah and go back to... Did you ever notice Jesus found himself in the book of Isaiah?
Yes, he did.
He quoted him. And anyway... Look at Isaiah 43:24. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out your transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Mm. I read that, and I got stuck. I said, Lord, now wait a minute. I made a decision when I went to Oral Roberts University, that a whole lot from what I learned from Brother Hagin. But I made a decision, I'm just going to talk to him just like I talk to anybody else.
Absolutely.
And I said, now, wait a minute. I know you're the one that blot out my transgressions. No, for my sake, not your sake. And he spoke up right on the inside of me, and he said, no, I did it for my sake. I said, I don't get it. Well, he said, you've brought me no sweet, but thou hast made me to serve with your sins. You wearied me with your iniquities. I am he that blots out your transgressions for my sake. I will not remember your sins. I said, I don't get it. Now, this is the same spirit that's here today. And he did that in Jesus. He blotted them out. Anyway, I said, I don't get it. He said, you want to remember bad things about your children? I said, well, no. He said, I did it for my sake. He said, I don't want to remember bad things about you. And besides that, if I remember your sins, I can't bless you.
I got that written right there. I heard you say that. I wrote that right there.
If I remember your sins, I can't bless you. Now, see, he talked about the sins in the 24th verse. In other words, he said, I've had to put up with this. So he said, I've blotted them out, and I will not remember them. Now, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that you may be justified. And here's what he said, and I want you to get it in the audience, and I want the class to get it. He said, now, you've started with a blank sheet. Now tell me, you plead with me. Mm-hmm. You plead your case. Mm-hmm. What do you want me to remember?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's good.
See, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. It convicts the believer of unrighteousness. Because I've been made righteous. So when I read this 26, and you can correct me here on this if I've got this wrong. Put me in remembrance. I put him in remembrance of what I want him to know. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou may be justified. That's an Old Testament version of 1 John 1:9.
That is, isn't it?
It looks like it to me.
It does.
That I'm going to confess this so that it's not to be remembered anymore.
Yes.
But I've already been justified. He's not remembering anymore. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. So now I'll come back and plead to him, you know, the thing that I did, even though I'm justified.
I plead my case.
Plead my case.
My case is the blood of Jesus.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
I plead the blood.
That's exactly.
And for those of you that, particularly those of you that do not have a Pentecostal background, And there are people that plead the blood and still don't realize what they did. But because they have faith in the blood, it works. But actually, when I plead the blood, we have overcome him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, who did not love their lives unto death. So, what has happened when you stand up and you say, Satan, I plead the blood over that situation in the name of Jesus? We literally have thrown every covenant God made right in his face.
That's right. Especially now when we use the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Because that's the authority.
Yes.
That backed that blood. So, put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou that thou might be justified. What am I supposed to put him in remembrance of right there? That you're the one, I'm putting myself in remembrance
yes.
of, for his sake, he blotted out my iniquity, my sins no more. So why am I going to carry this? I'm not going to carry this.
That's
I'm
right.
going to lay this at your feet.
That's right.
Praise God.
Praise God. And you can just, sometimes just take that and just browse right on down through there and look at all those words and then get the New King James that takes the these and the thous out of it and just flow in here and just listen to him. And listen how he said it. He didn't just say, I. He said, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am. What are you today, sir? I'm the one that blots out your transgressions for my sake.
So,
I am.
So if you don't remember it, I'm not going to remember it.
That's right.
I'm going to blot it out for my own sake, too.
Yes.
Because I'm like you.
And I'm starting afresh today. Mm-hmm. This is the day of my receiving.
That's right.
Today is my receiving day. And I'm one day closer to the resurrection.
That's right.
I'm one day closer to my birthday. And I'm one day closer to Christmas.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Yesterday, you talked about the Eden covenant, and you said the moment we were born again, we were placed in the Eden covenant. So in that Eden covenant, what was Adam's responsibility? God made it. Adam's responsibility was to steward it.
That's right.
And that's what this verse is doing. We are stewarding our position in the place that he's placed
us. Oh, that's good, Greg.
That's all we're doing. And we do it largely with our mouth, because that's how he made Eden. Mm-hmm. It's how he made everything. It's how Adam operated in Eden. He brought the animals by. See what he would call them. He's speaking things into existence. And the things that we're talking about. Romans 8:11 says, if spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you.
Praise
we
God.
Have that same spirit.
On what page are you on?
I am on that second page.
Yes.
When God created the universe, he didn't use all of his power. He used more of his power to raise Jesus from the dead, and that's the same spirit that's now in me.
That was what startled me so. I had been praying in the Spirit and questioning God concerning power and a lot of things, and that's when I had the vision of God holding that that dead gray object in his hands by the shoulders. And he asked me, what was the greatest expression of my power? I said, oh, when you created the universe. He said, oh, no. He said, that was easy. I said, that was easy? Well, yeah, he said, it was easy. He said, I had no one against me. Now, he said, do you remember that I said in my word, in Malachi, your words are stout against me? And he said, when I raised Jesus from the dead, all of hell was against me. My own people were against me. He said, I had to do that against all of the forces. And he said, you still don't have a concept yet of what it was like for my own son to go to hell. Mm. And he had to believe that I could get him out of there, because no one else had ever gotten out of there. And Jesus said hell was created for the devil and his angels.
That's right.
And he had to go there.
God's actually fighting his own delegated power, because mm-hmm. Adam gave the delegated power to Lucifer.
But now, how did he do it?
Okay.
Abraham. Was willing.
There you go.
To sacrifice his only begotten son because of his covenant with God. And if his covenant partner was willing to do that, and we see it in the book of Hebrews, that he did it by faith, and he received him raised from the dead in a figure. He saw it in his spirit. This, I'm the father of many nations, and this boy has to live to do it. He fully intended to see him raised up from ashes.
Yep. Well, an angel had to stop him.
Yeah, he was doing it. He was doing this thing. He had the knife, and the angel stopped him.
So,
and there was a ram caught in the thicket.
Yeah.
A what?
Yeah.
A sacrificial ram.
Yes.
And he reaped it. Now, what kind of faith did Isaac have?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he even asked his dad, where's the sacrifice? The Lord will provide.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And he goes up there with two servants, just like Jesus. It's a picture for us of the two that were on the either
side.
And
he said, the boy and I will return.
Yes, he did.
He spoke by faith, but he fully intended to do it. And when Jesus said, is there any way that this cup could pass from me? There's no way. God knew it was coming. He knew the day was coming. He knew he was going to have to face this.
That was the fully persuaded moment.
Yes, it was.
With Abraham.
Yes,
so that takes us to Philippians 3:10. Let me read this to you. I'm on page 3 here. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Now, being conformed to his death doesn't mean that Paul's looking to die like Jesus did. He knows he's identified with him. I was crucified with him. I died with him. I was buried with him.
Right.
I was resurrected with him. And now I reign with him. Far too many Christians are trying to reign with him without knowing all of that other identification.
That's right.
That I was crucified with him. I died with him. Buried with him.
I had the Lord say this to me, Greg. He said, Christian people have never let me die.
My.
Wow. He said, they see me hanging on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel bad about it. One day a year. And then they run around with rabbits.
And eggs. Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know where that Easter egg came from until it came from Passover, and I didn't know it. Where that egg was roasted, it was cracked and roasted. In other words, it was hard-boiled. And when they took the shell off of the egg, it had a pattern on it. And no two of them were alike. It was not an Easter egg. It's a Sabbath egg.
Yeah.
Passover egg.
Wow. Right.
But that's where the...
That's where that started from.
And rabbits don't lay eggs. And Easter is only mentioned one time, and it's in the King James translation. Every other time it's translated Passover.
That's right. They changed it. Paul wrote, when I read that in Philippians 3:10, the resurrection is something that we should understand.
Yes, it is.
And that we should study.
Let's look over there. Let's go over there and look at that.
Yeah. The resurrection makes the distinction between the Old and the New Covenant.
In the 8th verse, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now, that's serious.
Mm-hmm.
This man, a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Brilliant.
The most educated of all.
That's right.
Highly educated, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And he counts all that as trash, rubbish. That's just trash.
Mm-hmm.
That whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, my part of his sufferings.
Mm-hmm.
So what is our part of his suffering? We are to resist everything.
That's exactly right.
That he paid for on the cross. We are to resist sin. We are to resist sickness. We are to resist disease.
Yep.
We are to resist poverty.
Right.
With all the faith we have. And sometimes that can get tough. And Gloria and I had to learn how. And when you start with nothing, and the Lord, the old Robert, He said, he's talking about him, you're going to build me a university. He said, you're going to build it out of the same thing I did, nothing.
Right. Right.
But Warren Orwell said, so what did he do? He would take Richard and he'd put Richard's bicycle in the car and he'd go out here in this farmland. And he would stand there under a shade and he would pray in tongues.
There you go.
He would stand there and pray in tongues.
He's accessing the power.
And Oral Roberts University stands in that plot today.
Praise God.
And they just had a graduating class. And a very close friend of ours, her niece graduated with a 4.0 at Oral Roberts University, and they had over 900 graduates.
Amen. Amen.
The first class was 300 altogether. And I was there the second semester.
Amen.
And, but now think about that. It was out in the country. It was a farm. Mm-hmm. But he knew where it was. The Spirit of God had showed him where it was. And so he would pray in tongues and then interpret back to himself. And out of that was born the design of the university. And that's when the Lord said to him, prayer is the most essential part, or it is a core value, because all Christian failure is a prayer failure. Mm-hmm. So the first structure on campus was the prayer tower.
It's still in the center. Right there in the center.
Right in the center. And everything else was built around it.
Brother Copeland, that was his Eden.
Yes.
He went out there and stewarded it.
And the first day that we drove in there, mm-hmm. my daughter Kelly was standing up in the seat. Gloria had John. John was just a baby. Kelly was 3. She said, oh, Daddy, Jesus lives here.
Amen.
The impact of the Spirit was so strong. But when you go back to where it came from.
That's right.
It came out of the Spirit. And he read where the Spirit of God showed David the design of the temple.
Yeah. Wow.
And Solomon built it.
Amen.
So he stayed in the Spirit until he got the design of that university and where it was to be. And the people didn't want to sell it. But later they did. And the address is 7777. South Louis.
That's right.
And we're out of time. Glory to God. We'll be back here in a minute.
Are you done with tolerating defeat in your life? Here's the good news. You can live free from all the baggage of the enemy. You can even demolish burdens in the lives of those around you. How? Through the power of God's anointing. In the audio series, The Power of the Anointing, Kenneth Copeland guides you through Scripture to reveal the truth about the anointing and what it can do for you. You will learn exactly what the anointing is, the benefits that the anointing holds, and how to use the power of the anointing. This anointing carries all the power and benefits that Jesus came to deliver: joy, healing, freedom, eternal life. You can do all things through the anointing. Imagine dominating hurdles in your life and achieving success, and having the same type of impact that Jesus did in lives and circumstances everywhere you go. Freedom and success are all wrapped up in the anointing, which is Christ in you. You can live victoriously in every area of your life Let God's burden-removing, yoke-destroying power completely set you free. Request your free audio series, The Power of the Anointing, by Kenneth Copeland on kcm.org.uk/TV special or when you call 01225-787-310. This free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today.
John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, in that scripture, Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, He defeated the devil, He stripped him of his power, and Jesus is now called the first begotten Son. It was God's desire through Jesus' work of redemption that many sons be brought to glory. God wanted His family. Jesus made a way for you and for me to become part of His family. Jesus has made us the righteousness of God in Christ, and now we can stand in the presence of the Most High God without any guilt or shame or condemnation. It all starts with making Jesus the Lord of your life. Pray this with me out loud. Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Take my life and do something with it, and I will serve You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, we want to help you learn more about your new life in Christ, and we have a free gift for you called the Salvation Package. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria. And there are also brochures to help you get started reading and studying your Bible. Just go to kcm.org to request your free copy of the Salvation Package, and we'll get that sent to you right away.
Praise God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God is God? Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad you could be with us today. Be with us again tomorrow, because tomorrow, we're really getting into the good stuff now.
Building up to something.
Yeah. And we're working on something.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland and all of this class reminding you that God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Glory.
If you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to welcome you to the family of God. They have a gift for you called the Salvation Package to help you understand more about your new life in Christ. Email us at partners@kcm.org.uk and receive your free Salvation Package.